Well, those who were here last week might remember that Ivor Strode spoke about the question, who is this? It was a question posed by the inhabitants of Jerusalem during our Lord's so-called triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. It was the first event in a week which, as Ivor said, changed the history of the world. And they were certainly 7 very full days for our Saviour. And one of those days he spent in debate with the Jewish authorities and leaders, and in the course of his debates, he avoided the many traps which they had very carefully and cunningly laid for him. They ranged over subjects of the payment of tribute to Caesar, to pay or not to pay. That is the question by means of which these men hoped to get him into trouble with the civil authorities. They talked about the doctrine of the resurrection, which doctrine some of them sought to belittle. They talked about the greatest commandment. And then finally, he, our Lord, silenced his opponents with a question of his own. And the context of that question provides me with the set reading for today. I join Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one, Matthew says, was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Ivor's passage last week included the announcement, behold, your king is coming. And it was on this day of debates that they, his foes, had chosen to make their first move against the king, which he successfully blocked, the question of tribute to Caesar. They then made their second and their third moves, both of which he also successfully blocked, and then he made his move, which followed on from that, as I just read to you. No one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. I suppose we could say that they had been checkmated by the king. And because our last question, if David then calls him Lord, how is he son? That question, it certainly had them stumped. Because they knew nothing of what we call today the incarnation, that which many specially remember at Christmas, when he who was God, and as such therefore very much David's Lord, when he became man, and because as such he was descended of David's line, was known as David's son. There lay the key to the answer to his question. But the question which I have for this morning is not the last, but the first question that Jesus put to the Jewish leaders. What do you think about Christ? Now, it's well over 3 years since I had the privilege of speaking briefly at the funeral of an ex-member of Coffee Morning, a very genuine Christian gentleman, no doubt still remembered by many, Mr. John Pedwell. John was in his 50s when he became a Christian, and I would not like to guess how many times John told Linda and me about his conversion late one night following a gospel message he heard in Harrogate, which centered on that question. What do you think about Christ? Not long before John's death, I visited him in the nursing home where he was then staying, and we talked again, about that question. And we agreed that both of us would give the same answer, more or less, to the question that the Lord Jesus was altogether unique, altogether unlike anyone else who'd ever lived, altogether unique in his conception for when he was born. His mother was still a virgin. Altogether unique in his life, his teachings, his miracles, his character, because he alone among men was without sin. Altogether unique in his death. Now, John and I recognize that sooner or later, death would likely come to both of us, because, in the end, to some extent or other, both John and I have sinned in God's sight. And one of the penalties of sin is death. But we knew too that Jesus, the sinless one, had died, that by means of that death he might secure forgiveness and eternal life for us. We thought too of the Lord Jesus unique in his resurrection, because though John and I could point from our Bibles to several other cases of men who had been brought back to life, we knew too that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was altogether different, and that, unlike all these other cases, he rose as the conqueror of death, never to die again. Now, John used to quote frequently a verse which came from the pen of one John Newton, a former slave ship captain of the 18th century. It's a verse which, as it happens, Ivor Strode referred to here on this past Sunday morning. Newton wrote, "What think you of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him." Only this week I was reading an incident which took place very late in John Newton's life. And by that stage he needed an assistant, some helper, to stand with him in the pulpit whenever he preached. And on one Lord's Day, while delivering his message, he repeated the sentence, "Jesus Christ is precious." His helper was heard to whisper to him, "You've already said that twice." Mr. Newton, who was almost blind at the time, and who had until then himself been speaking in little more than a whisper, responded quite loudly, "Yeah, I've said it twice, and I'm going to say it again." And the story runs, as I have it, that the stones of the old church fairly shook when the great old preacher declared yet again, "Jesus Christ is precious." No one was left in any doubt that day about what John Newton thought about the Lord Jesus. Now you may wonder, you probably don't, but you may wonder why I have these packets of fruit pastels with me this morning. These are Rowntree's fruit pastels. That explains everything. Today, November the 4th, happens to be the 150th anniversary of the death of one Joseph Rowntree. He was the father of another Joseph Rowntree, named after him, who took over the running of the original Rowntree's company, famous in its day and since for its, particularly, I suppose, other things, but particularly for its confectionery. Chocolate drops, fruit gums, jelly babies, and of course, Rowntree's fruit pastels. The dentist's delight. I was interesting to read of Joseph Rowntree Jr.'s faith in the Lord Jesus. And I was struck in particular by two statements he made during his last illness. The one concerned God's promises in Scripture, of which Mr. Rowntree said, "I have nothing else to rest upon," and added, "It has long been my faith that the only way of salvation is by Jesus Christ, by Jesus of Nazareth, crucified for me." And the other, not long before he died, "I die in the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me, resting solely on his atonement. Now, as it happens, November the 4th is also the date on which the German composer and musical conductor Felix Mendelssohn died. Mendelssohn once wrote, I quote, "A sacrifice had to be made to God for the sins of the world. Christ took our misdeeds upon himself that we might have peace, and died for our salvation. Thus he reconciled us with God." What do you think about Christ is today's answer, today's question. "Altogether unique," said John Pedwell. "Precious," said John Newton. "The only way of salvation," said Joseph Rowntree and Felix Mendelssohn. But the big question facing each of us is, what do you think about Christ? Because as John Newton's verse so aptly says, "You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him." Should we pray?